Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catalin Campano, and today's show is brought to you by Rumble, the asset discovery company. We're going to start today's show with a report from Google's Project Zero team, which said in a blog post published on Thursday that half of the zero-day vulnerabilities exploited in the wild in the first half of the year have been variants of older zero-days. 18 zero-days were exploited last year, according to Maddie Stone, a security researcher with Google's Project Zero team. 5 were variants of older vulnerabilities, while the other 4 were variants of zero-days exploited in 2021. Just 12 months from the original in-the-wild zero-day being patched, attackers came back with a variant of the original bug, Stone said, arguing that most of these attacks could have been prevented with more comprehensive patching and regression tests. Moving on to other vulnerability news, we have a report from GoSecure researchers who found that an autofill feature in browsers like Chrome, Edge, Firefox, Opera, and Internet Explorer can be abused to steal user credentials from websites that contain at least one cross-site scripting vulnerability. GoSecure's Marc-Olivier Bergeron is here to share more details about their work.
We found that the autofill feature in Firefox, Chrome, Edge, Opera, and Internet Explorer can be abused to perform credential exfiltration when the targeted website is vulnerable to XSS. During a pen test, a tool highlighted a vulnerability named password field with autocomplete enabled. And in the description, I saw that it was possible to retrieve users' safe credentials, and that piqued my curiosity. It turns out that this attack vector was already known by browser vendors. However, we thoroughly validated many browsers and found Brave, Safari, and Tor users to be protected. Here is how it works. Whenever a browser finds an input password field, it will try to autofill it. Your XSS payload just needs to create an input password field and wait for the credentials to be autofilled by the browser, and then send the credentials to an attacker control environment. For mitigations, a website owners should focus on eliminating XSS with best practice techniques like content security policy header and HTML encoding. For IT administrator, they can use GPOs, so group policies, to disable autofill features on browsers for all desktops. For end users, they can either use a password manager without autofill activated or rely on a browser that does not autofill by default.
Also in vulnerability news, Horizon 3 researchers have published a report on CVE-2022-28219, an unauthenticated remote code execution vulnerability affecting Zoho Managed Engine AD Audit Plus, a compliance tool used by enterprises to monitor changes to Active Directory. The vulnerability is considered critical because it allows attackers to take over managed engine systems and then compromise domain admin accounts and then take over a company's local network. And one last piece of news related to vulnerabilities. The Jenkins Project has published a security advisory on late Thursday night warning about vulnerabilities in 25 of its most popular plugins. Companies and projects that use Jenkins systems should review this advisory. Moving on to news and hacks and breaches, OpenSea, today's largest NFT marketplace, disclosed a malicious insider incident. In a blog post on Thursday, the company said that an employee of Customer.io, its email delivery vendor, misused their access to download the email addresses of OpenSea users who signed up for the company's newsletter. Also in cryptocurrency-related news, experts from blockchain tracking company Elliptic have linked the $100 million hack of the Harmony Interblockchain Bridge to North Korean state-sponsored hackers. The finding is terrible news for the platform's customers, as it is now highly unlikely that the attackers would return any of the stolen funds. According to blockchain security firm PeckShield, the attackers have already laundered roughly $36 million of the stolen funds already. In the meantime, Harmony has increased its bounty for any information on the attackers from $1 million to $10 million, a sum they are also willing to offer the attackers to return the stolen funds. In other hacking news, a cyber attack has also disrupted the activities of Geographic Solutions, a Florida-based company that provides unemployment claims and job placement for several US state governments. NBC News reported on Thursday that the incident has impacted the services provided by the Departments of Labor and related agencies in at least 9 US states, as well as the DC area. In ransomware-related news, Macmillan, one of the big 5 publishers of English language content, has been hit by ransomware, according to a report from Publishers Weekly. The incident appears to have taken place over the last weekend, and the company said that some IT systems might be affected while they work to restore affected servers. On the other side of the spectrum, US retail giant Walmart has denied getting hit by a ransomware attack. The company had to deny rumors after its name was recently listed on the leak site of the Yan Lo Wang ransomware gang, with the group claiming to have encrypted between 40,000 and 50,000 of the retailer systems. Some big security news were also announced on the tech scene. Google said on Thursday that it plans to remove the option for YouTube channel owners to hide their subscriber count as a measure to fight spam on the platform. The measure is meant to fight a recent trend where threat actors are creating accounts mimicking legitimate ones and running various scams to defraud users. The idea is to show subscriber numbers at all times, which would allow regular users to differentiate between a legitimately popular account and a scammy one with almost no followers. In privacy-related news, 10 consumer protection groups under the coordination of the European Consumer Organization, also known as the BEUC, have filed complaints with data protection agencies in their countries against Google for using misleading language and design choices that funnel users towards its surveillance systems. BEUC said complaints have been filed in France, the Czech Republic, Norway, Greece, and Slovenia. In government and policy-related news, the commander of Israel's vaunted IDF Unit 8200, the country's SIGINT agency, told Israeli media this week that his team warned the US of attempts from Iranian hackers to attack US power plants. Colonel Yu, as he is identified, said they discovered the plot while investigating attacks on Israel's water facilities last year. In other news, officials from Canada's Royal Canadian Mounted Police admitted for the first time that they used spyware in past investigations. The tools were used by the RCMP's Covert Access and Intercept team in 10 past operations dating as far back as 2018, according to a document shared by the agency with the Canadian Parliament last week. Officials said they resorted to intrusive spyware because targets switched to encrypted communication channels and wiretaps became ineffective. Elsewhere in Europe, the UK Department of Work and Pensions have banned the use and purchase of Chinese-made security cameras. Current cameras will be replaced over the next 3 years, and the UK DWP now becomes the second UK government agency to ban Chinese-made cameras after the UK Department of Health and Social Care. In cybercrime and threat intelligence news, a US judge expanded the legal case against Joseph Sullivan, the former Uber CISO, to also include wire fraud charges over his alleged role in trying to cover up a 2016 data breach that exposed the personal information of 57 million passengers and drivers. Also in law enforcement news, Ukraine cyber police detained this week 9 suspects that were part of a cybercrime group that ran more than 400 phishing sites. Most of the phishing websites mimicked EU websites offering financial assistance to Ukrainians, and officials said the gang stole an estimated 100 million hryvnias from their victims, worth around $3.4 million. In other cybercrime-related news, Reuters reporters Rafael Satter and Christopher Bing have published an in-depth piece on Thursday on the activities of several Indian-based hacker-for-hire companies such as Appian, Beltrox, and CyberRoot, that have breached lawyers and litigants on behalf of Western private IT firms. The Reuters article was also accompanied by a report from Google's Tag team, which published an overview of the hacker-for-hire scenes in India, Russia, and the United Arab Emirates. According to Google, the UAE group is particularly interesting because they are linked to the original developers of H-Worm, a malware strain also known as NJ-RAT. As part of its report, Google also added more than 30 domains used by these companies to its Safe Browsing API, so users receiving emails or navigating through the sites will now receive security alerts. In malware news, Intercept's Joachim Kennedy took a deep dive into YT Stealer, a new info stealer that has been specifically designed to steal YouTube account authentication cookies and has been used solely in targeted attacks against YouTube account owners. One of the malware's most innovative features is that YT Stealer also navigates to a YouTube account owner's studio page, from where it grabs information about the user's channel, such as its name, how many subscribers it has, how old the channel is, if the channel is monetized, the official artist's channel name, and if the account has been verified. Another new malware discovery came from security researchers from Kaspersky, who said they found a new IIS backdoor that they named Session Manager. Researchers said Session Manager has been used against NGOs, government, military, and industrial organizations all over the world, starting from at least March 2021. Kaspersky said the malware appears to be a variant of the older OWL proxy backdoor and is most likely the work of the Gelsemium threat actor. Also in malware news, CISA, the FBI, FinCEN, and the US Treasury have released a joint security advisory on the Medusa Locker ransomware. The agency said the ransomware gang behind Medusa Locker has been active as recently as May 2022, and the gang heavily relied on vulnerabilities in the Windows RDP service for initial access to victims' networks. Moving on to APT and cyber espionage news, blockchain tracking companies like Chainalysis and TRM Labs have told Reuters this week that the recent and sudden crash in cryptocurrency values has wiped out tens of millions of US dollars from North Korea's caches of stolen cryptocurrency. For example, a North Korean cache of stolen funds lost about 80 to 85% of its value from last year and is now worth less than 10 million US dollars. Also in APT News, a Financial Times investigation found that members of the APT 40 cyber espionage group have lured Chinese students who speak good English into working as translators for a front company that secretly and unbeknownst to them had them translate hacked documents or material needed for target reconnaissance. The FT reported that APT 40 employed more than 140 students in this scheme. The front company also operated out of the island of Hainan, where the Department of Justice and Intrusion Truth previously linked APT-40's base of operations. This concludes the news section of our podcast. In today's sponsor segment, Piers Berry, Principal Security Researcher at Rumble Network Discovery, wanted to highlight a recently disclosed vulnerability in the Zimbra Enterprise suite.
Researchers with SonarSource recently shared findings on a path traversal vulnerability in the UNRAR file archive utility. This vulnerability lies in the validation and handling of symbolic links during archive unpacking, which allows attackers to write files in unexpected locations of the file system via crafted RAR archives. For its Linux installations, Zimbra relies on the UNRAR utility to automatically unpack incoming RAR attachments. This behavior, coupled with the UNRAR path traversal vulnerability, creates an attack vector that can yield many outcomes for the attacker, including unauthenticated remote code execution. UNRAR and Zimbra have both made patches available, and Rumble can help surface your Zimbra installations which may need updates. Just visit rumble.run and start your free trial today.
This is it for today's show. You can find links to all reports in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.